بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. صدق الله العظيم. وقالت سيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها: كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل العشر الأواخر شد مئزره وأيقظ أهله وأحيا ليله، أو كما قالت رضي الله عنها. Respected friends and elders, علماء كرام, once again we find ourselves at the pinnacle of the month of Ramadan. The last ashara, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, is considered the pinnacle of the month of Ramadan. Laylatul Qadr is the greatest night, not only of Ramadan, but the greatest night in the entire Islamic calendar. And tonight, being an odd night, can potentially be Laylatul Qadr. This being the pinnacle, this being the ultimate of the month of Ramadan, is clearly understood from the hadith, the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he addressed the Sahaba on the last day of Sha'ban, meaning one day before Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum: Ya ayyuhan nas, qad adallakum shahrun azimun, shahrun mubarakun. O people, there is a great month and a blessed month that has dawned upon you, that is coming, meaning the month of Ramadan. And the third sentence thereafter was, شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It is such a month that contains one night, which is better than 1,000 months. So 3 weeks before potential Laylatul Qadr occurring, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informs the Sahaba and highlights to them, the month is starting, it's a great month, but in this month is one particular night that is better than 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadr, the greatest night of the Islamic calendar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, has allowed us to see this once again. Every year we are reminded that we are fortunate. Last year there were so many people that were with us and who are no more with us this year. As believers, we are taught to appreciate life. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, who is considered the most knowledgeable sahabi after the Khulafa, after Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiyallahu anhum, the next greatest alim among sahaba was Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. His habit every morning, when the sun would rise, would be to recite the following dua: Alhamdulillah alladhi aqalana yawmana hadha. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us back this one more day. Iqala, given something in return. We went to sleep at night and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to wake up, and He gave us one more day. If Allah wished, Allah could have kept our souls with Him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed the soul to come back and allowed us to wake up the next morning. وَلَمْ يُهْلِكْنَا بِذُنُوبِنَا. All praise to Allah, who gave us one more chance, so to say, and who did not destroy us or punish us because of our sins. So this is a great ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to see these occasions and to witness these occasions. And especially more so in the light of recent events in the dunya. The earthquake that has taken place in Turkey is not too far away. Barely two and a half months have passed. In a matter of a few seconds, official counts are 50,000 people have lost their lives. And unofficially, people are saying it's much more than double that amount. In a matter of a few seconds, that is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is only a small amount of the qudrat of Allah that was exposed. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is capable of everything. That was a small reminder of qiyamah, how the entire dunya will be shaken. And everything will come to an end also in a few moments, in a few seconds. What if that had to happen in our country? What if that had to happen in our areas? Such an earthquake that was not seen in decades. The effect of the earthquake was a couple of 100 kilometers, between 300 to 400 to 500 kilometers from one end to the other, that was shaken in that few seconds, in which there were so many lives lost. How many of those people went to bed after doing a good deed, and how many went to bed after committing sin on that night? Despite all of that happening, alhamdulillah, we find ourselves here today. This is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next stage is for us to appreciate this ni'mat. We are taught that whatever ni'mat we are blessed with, we ought to appreciate it. How do we appreciate the ni'mat of Allah of being able to witness a night like tonight and to be alive during these last 10 days of Ramadan? That is to maximize our benefit from this month. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in several ahadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got selected moments in time. Allah has reserved what we refer to as, you know, big nights, mubarak occasions. These are reserved moments on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherein He emits His special mercies. إِنَّ لِرَبِّكُمْ فِي أَيَّامِ دَهْرِكُمْ نَفَحَاتٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved certain special moments in time in which He emits His mercies. فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهَا Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then avail yourselves for it. Be present. Be there in those moments. Benefit from those opportunities. And the greatest benefit we can get on nights like tonight is to earn our forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout the year, throughout the day, and every other occasion, we are engaged in our worldly activities, in earning a livelihood, in building a career, in education, etc. And during that times, we go through different halat, different conditions. Sometimes we are in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we make mistakes as well, and we fall into the trap of shaitan. We end up in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we look around us today, the amount of disobedience, the amount of immodesty, immorality, the amount of evil and fitna and trial and tribulations and sins that are occurring in society, the different types of trials and tests, different types of temptations that are there and present, it is so difficult for a person to save himself. It's like as if he managed to avoid one, then he might clash into the other. And if he managed to avoid the second one, then he might fall into the third. It's like crossing a very busy street where people have got no regard for the pedestrians. It's a very busy street, you're crossing a highway, and you are being chased maybe by some enemy, and you have to cross, you have to run. As you're running, you manage to dodge one car, and then another car, and a third car, and very soon you're going to be knocked by some car. If the enemy behind you doesn't get you, then the car that is speeding past on that highway is going to knock into you. That is our example today when it comes to the traffic of fitna outside. There is so much for a person to avert. There's so much for us to try and avoid that ultimately sometimes we are bound to fall into sin if we do not take the proper precaution. In light of all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated for our cleansing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated for our maghfirat and our spiritual cleansing. That insan is out there and you have to go out and earn a living. You have to go out and build a career. You have to live your life in this dunya. And you are bound to face these challenges. And insan, khuliqal insanu da'ifa. Insan has been created weak. Sometimes we submit, not sometimes, nowadays is most of the time. We are submitting to temptation. Despite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us. To make tawbah, firstly, a person does not have to wait for any special occasion. Tawbah and istighfar and to repent, you can do wherever you are. But on occasions like these, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives, like we say, wholesale. Allah forgives in great abundance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, special mercy has come down on those who turn to Him and who take benefit of these occasions. So in light of all that fitna, you know, when it is raining outside, whether it's rain, whether it's, you know, hail or snow or whatever, if a person wants to protect himself from the inclement weather, the bad weather, then he comes under the shelter. You come under the shelter and you are safe from the rain outside. This is the shelter from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to save us and protect us from the rain of fitna. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forewarned the ummah that times will come when the fitnas will be like what we may refer to as rain. In other words, continuous. Fitnas will be continuous. Fitanan ka qita'i al-layl al-muslim, like the portions of a dark night. How when the sun sets, darkness continues. You don't get 2 hours of darkness and then a small period of light and then darkness again and then a break. No, it continues. It's continuous till the next morning. Like that, these fitnas will continue and continue. There'll be no break in between, one after the other. So it'll be raining fitna. For us to save ourselves, the simple solution is to come under the shelter. And the shelter is these occasions, these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affords us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his sunnah, we have, you know, a model for every aspect of our lives. On nights like tonight, on occasions like these, what would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? Despite being the greatest creation of Allah, despite being the purest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being completely sinless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to demonstrate to the ummah that how are you to conduct yourself? Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says in a hadith of Bukhari Sharif that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit was, إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرُ الْأَوَاخِرُ, when the last 10 nights would commence, like now, tonight, then شَدَّ مِئْزَرَهُ, he would tie his belt, tie his izar tight. This was an expression to show that he would be ready to exert himself. شَدُّ الْمِئْزَر is an expression in Arabic to show exertion, to show preparation for exertion, that he would be preparing himself to exert and to strain himself, so to say, in the obedience and ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would become serious and dedicated and more focused. وَأَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ, he would wake up his family, his wives, he would ensure that they are awake on these nights. This is also something for us to ponder about, that alhamdulillah, we as the males and as the adults have the opportunity of being in the masjid, of attending programs, of being in the company of the pious, and listening and benefiting from the lectures and discourses. When we go back to our homes, we ought to be sharing this with our families. We also have to create an environment in the home. The ideal is on nights like tonight for a person to do ibadah in his house. But because there is so much of distraction, then we are, alhamdulillah, come to the masjid so we can save ourselves from distractions in the home. Otherwise, in the home too, the environment needs to be created. When we go back home, we ought to share the advices we heard with our wives and children. We have to practically demonstrate to them also, read that extra nafil in the home. Make extra dua at seri time when everybody is awake, or on nights like tonight. Make additional tilawat. Cry in dua for yourself, but also as an example for your family in your home. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in short, despite his wives being the purest of wives, the azwaj mutahharat we refer to them as, the purified wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were no better women in the ummah than the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore Allah chose them and selected them to be his spouses and his wives. At-tayyibatu lit-tayyibin, pure people get pure spouses. And impure, wal-khabithatu lil-khabithin, Quran says, and the impure people will get impure spouses. So the azwaj mutahharat, being the best woman of the ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still ensured that they must be awake also on nights like tonight. Ayqadha ahlahu wa ahya laylahu, and he would spend the entire night awake in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the model and the sabak and the lesson given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to how to conduct ourselves on these nights. Our Salafi Saliheen and pious predecessors from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thereafter the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, till the present day, the pious of the present day as well, anticipate Laylatul Qadr. Anticipate the beginning of the last 10 nights in advance. They also make preparations in advance. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba before Ramadan started, whilst introducing the month of Ramadan, the third statement was about Laylatul Qadr. Preparation and the mindset is being fashioned before the commencement of the month of Ramadan. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah says that the Salaf mentioned, "Inna awfan nasi nasiban min al-jumu'ah man intadharaha wa ra'aha min al-ams." That person who will benefit the most from Friday is the one who is waiting for it and preparing for it from Thursday. If you are waiting in advance, then you are going to benefit. Like that, if you were waiting for these nights to commence, now the real benefit will commence. So, nights like tonight, preparation was made in advance. Then when the night used to come, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's habit was mentioned in this hadith. Many of the Sahaba and Tabi'un used to actually have a ghusl, a bath, specifically on the odd nights. Like we have a bath on the day of Eid. Like a special bath for Friday. A special bath in Arafat, etc. Like that for this night. Every one of the odd nights, they would have a special bath for that night. Preparation. Wear their best clothing. Apply itr like we do for other Mubarak occasions. That is how they would prepare. And thereafter spend the night in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend the night turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In general, in Sharia, there is nothing fixed outside our fara'is, outside the faraz. You are not duty bound on a particular nafil, on a particular act of ibadah that is nafil. Whatever a person is comfortable with, whatever a person finds easier to engage in, he should engage in. But ultimately on a night like tonight, we ought to be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah, like I mentioned. Imam Malik rahimahullah, to demonstrate this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left this nafil, the doors of nafil are open based on your ability and based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made easy for you. Imam Malik rahimahullah says, رُبَّ رَجُلٍ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِالصِّيَامِ لَمْ يَفْتَحْ لَهُ بِالْقِيَامِ. There are some people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for him to engage in nafil fast on end. Outside the month of Ramadan, it's easy for this person. Mondays and Thursdays, mashallah, he's able to fast. The Ayyamul Bid, 13th, 14th and 15th of every lunar month, he's able to fast. Like that, nafil fast is easy for him. But to stand up in tahajjud is difficult. لَمْ يَفْتَحْ لَهُ بِالْقِيَامِ. The ability for tahajjud is difficult. وَرُبَّ رَجُلٍ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِالْقِيَامِ لَمْ يَفْتَحْ لَهُ بِالْعِلْمِ. There are some people, Allah made it easy for him, he can spend many hours at night in tahajjud. But for example, to engage in the ibadah of ilm and knowledge is difficult for him. Or to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is difficult for him. So these are different abilities Allah has put in people. Undoubtedly, we should aspire to have a share in everything. Like in dunya, you like to have an equal spread in your investments. You have an equal spread. And you like to have a share everywhere. Like that in ibadat as well, we should exert and try. But what I'm trying to say is there's nothing fixed and binding upon us. So Imam Malik rahimahullah then says, وَكُلٌّ عَلَى خَيْرٍ. All are doing good. Whatever ibadah you are doing, at the end of the day, it is an act of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is good. وَكُلٌّ عَلَى خَيْرٍ. So that is the basic crux for nights like tonight. Whatever you are comfortable with, whether it is additional rak'ats of tahajjud, whether it is tilawat of Qur'an, whether it is dua, etc., spend it in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, to engage in every type of ibadah is ideal. And as a suggestion, as a suggested format for ibadah on tonight, one is a person should ensure to read the Isha and Fajr Salat with Jamaat. Because like we are aware, the hadith says that person who reads the Isha and Fajr Salat with Jamaat, then it is as if he has spent the entire night in ibadah. And if we can do this on a night which happens to be Laylatul Qadr, then you get the reward of spending the entire night of Qadr in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is like the bare minimum for a person to at least ensure this. If he can't do anything else, at least he should read the Isha and Fajr Salat with Jamaat and get the reward of spending that night in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, when a person goes to bed, then he should sleep in the state of wudu. Sleep in the state of wudu. This was the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and ought to be our habit every night. Like the first point, to read our salatul jamaat ought to be part and parcel of every day of our lives. But a person goes to sleep with wudu, he will be sleeping in accordance to the sunnah. If maut comes to him, the hadith says, if a person goes to bed in wudu and he reads the dua for sleeping, then if he dies in that condition, he will die on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some riwayat mention he will die as a shaheed. And there are several sahaba radiallahu anhum who have mentioned that we have learned that if a person sleeps with wudu, he goes to bed in the state of tahara, then whilst he is asleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows his soul, Allah allows the ruh of that person to make sajda under his arsh, under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine a man can be snoring on his bed, but because he slept with wudu, while he is snoring here, his soul is making sajda beneath the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great privilege, what a great honor. And for that to happen on a night like tonight. Thirdly, respected friends and elders, is for a person to abstain from sin. If you can't do anything else, you are reading your Isha with Jamaat, your Fajr with Jamaat inshallah, going to bed early in the state of wudu, then don't engage in any disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If on a night like tonight, we cannot hold ourselves back. If on the greatest night, potentially the greatest night of the entire year, a man cannot restrain himself. If on the last 10 nights of Ramadan, only for this period you can't hold back, then when else? And on what? When? On which other occasion are we going to practice restraint? How do we expect then to be engulfed in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Every other night we have spent in different ways. At least a night like tonight, hold ourselves back from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, like I mentioned at the beginning, there are so many different forms of disobedience of Allah today that are found out there. But among the greatest tools and among the most easiest of tools for sin is the smartphone. On one hand, yes, there are many permissible usages and there are many ways you will use it for your day-to-day needs. But on the other hand, we are all fully aware of how a person gradually is dragged on from that which is permissible and to that which is doubtful, and that then viewing and doing those things that are completely impermissible on the smartphone. So on nights like tonight, a person should shun the phone completely without any dire need. The phone should be abandoned. And especially social media, a person should not go on. Rather spend your time in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we might pick up that phone with some good intention that let me see what good messages have come. How many a times didn't we pick up our phones? And this happens to all of us. You picked up your phone to phone someone or for a particular reason to message someone. But the notifications on your screen, on your home screen were such that after a while you forgot also why you picked up your phone. You forgot why you took it out from your pocket, because you got so distracted with the notifications on your screen. That is how we are gradually distracted and then taken into the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the minimum is for a person to abstain from sin. On one hand, to expect the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to engage in acts of ibadah, and on the other hand, to also disobey Allah on nights like tonight, that is incorrect. You cannot be filling the bucket with a hole at the bottom. You are filling the bucket with tawbah, istighfar, ibadah, dua, but we've created a hole at the bottom of sin from which everything is escaping. Similarly, on nights like tonight, a person should also try to offer salatul tasbih. Salatul tasbih is a very, very recommended salah, especially on occasions like these. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had exhorted his uncle, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu anhu, and so to say pleaded with him. Hadith is a bit lengthy, and inshallah maybe one of the nights we will expound more on it. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pleaded with his uncle that ensure to read this salah. If you can read it every day, read it every day. And if not, read it once a week. And if not, then once a month. If not, then once a year. If not, then at least once in your lifetime, read Salatul Tasbih. See the sequence and see the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This shows how much of importance he has given to this salah. That ensure you read it, even if it just be once in your life. So our mashayikh and ulama generally encourage that on Mubarak nights and occasions like these, we should ensure to read the Salatul Tasbih, which is 4 rak'ats of Salah. 4 rak'ats of Salah, Nafil Salah. Our intention will be we are reading 4 rak'ats of Nafil Salatul Tasbih for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, facing the Qibla. And then we will start the Salah. It is called Salatul Tasbih because we will be repeating a particular Tasbih in the Salah. The third kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, is sufficient. We will repeat this several times in this salah. That is why it is called Salatul Tasbih. We are repeating this Tasbih of Subhanallah. Walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. If a person adds, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it's good. If not, it is fine as well. So when you start the salah after the thana, before Surah Fatiha, we will recite this Tasbih 15 times. There are several formats for reading Salatul Tasbih. And if somebody is used to a particular format, then you can continue with that format because it can be confusing, the different formats. But for those who don't really know any particular format, then this one I feel is quite simple and easy to understand and remember. So you will read this Tasbih 15 times before Surah Fatiha. Then you will read your Surah Fatiha like normal, followed by any other surah. Then before going into the ruku', you will recite it 10 times. From now onwards, we will be reciting this at the end of every posture 10 times. At the beginning, before Surah Fatiha, 15. At the end, before going into ruku', 10 times. In the ruku', after the tasbihat, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and any other masnoon dua that you recite in ruku', at the end of the ruku', 10 times this tasbih, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Then when we stand up in the qawma, Rabbana lakal hamd, there are other du'as to recite also. Whatever you will recite when you are in qawma, before descending for the sajda, another 10 times you will recite this tasbih, the third kalima. In the sajda after Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, at the end of the first sajda, then you will recite this tasbih 10 times. In the jalsa, in the sitting posture between the two sajdas, before going into the second sajda, again another 10 times. In the second sajda, at the end of it, another 10 times. So if you add it up, it's 75 times in one rak'at. 15 at the beginning, and thereafter 10, 10, 10, till 75. Then you stand up for the second rak'at and repeat the process. 15 before Surah Fatiha, 10 before the ruku', 10 at the end of the ruku', 10 before going into sajda, and like that, another 75 in the second rak'at. After two rak'ats, you will sit in tashahud like normal, stand up for the third rak'at and repeat that process. If a person forgets to recite the tasbih at any juncture, at any posture, then you can make up for it at the next posture. So if you forgot to recite the 15 times at the beginning before Surah Fatiha, then at the end of the rak'at, before going into ruku', you were to read 10 times, so you'll read the 10 plus the 15 that you missed at the beginning. In the salah, you are also allowed to count by pressing down your fingers. In this way, to make it easy for us to keep account, you are able to do that as well. It is allowed. And in this way, inshallah, we read. It takes about 20 minutes. 20 minutes, maximum 25 minutes for a person to read this 4 rak'ats of salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person will read this salah, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ ذَنْبَكَ. I said, we will discuss in detail at some other occasion, but nothing better than now. In Arabic, they say, صَلِّ عَلَى الْحَاضِرِ. Like we say, you know, a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. So while we're at it, let us complete the hadith, inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sayyidina Abbas, oh my uncle, should I not give you a hadiyah? Should I not give you a gift? Should I not give you something special? Sayyidina Abbas said, yes, oh my nephew, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, read this salah, and if you will read this salah, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ ذَنْبَكَ. Allah will forgive all your sins. أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ. The first and the last. صَغِيرَهُ وَكَبِيرَهُ. The minor and the major. خَطَأَهُ وَعَمْدَهُ. Those sins you committed by mistake and those you did intentionally. And قَدِيمَهُ وَحَدِيثَهُ. The old and the new. سِرَّهُ وَعَلَانِيَتَهُ. And the sin you committed in secret and the sin you committed openly. Every sin of yours will be forgiven. And on tonight, we want to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, this salah is so recommended and absolutely important for us to make this our habit, to read the Salatul Tasbih on nights like tonight, not only tonight, on every odd night. Every Jumu'ah, some people, mashallah, have the habit of reading Salatul Tasbih, thereby getting the complete forgiveness of our sins. And on tonight, respected friends and elders, continuing with the suggested format for ibadah, we should definitely engage in tawbah, earnest tawbah and repentance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, the most beloved of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asks him, O Nabi of Allah, if I happen to find Laylatul Qadr, what should I do on that night? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't mention anything elaborate, but he gave us a message. And the crux of that message is, earn your forgiveness. Earn your complete forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recite, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are most forgiving. You love to forgive, so forgive me. In other words, earn your maghfirat and your complete forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on tonight. That is the best thing you can get. The most beloved is asking him about the most important night in the year. And Rasulullah says, get your forgiveness. Get your maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is, we should not let sadi time come without us earning our forgiveness and maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in earnest tawbah and repentance and crying and begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to forgive us. Because if a person is deprived of the forgiveness of Allah on a night like tonight too, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emitted so much of His mercy, where Allah engulfs the globe with His mercy and forgiveness, then what can be said? Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed and said Ameen to the curse of that person. بَعُدَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. May that person be destroyed and may he be cursed who witnessed the month of Ramadan and he still never got forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why was he cursed? And why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say Ameen to that? It's because this person, he failed to benefit from such a great opportunity. Then when else is he going to really earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah give us tawfiq of understanding the importance and significance of these last 10 nights and starting from tonight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq and ability of maximizing the benefit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that He forgives each and every one of us, our parents, our wives and our children and all those that are linked and connected to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sends down His special mercies that will change the halat and conditions of the ummah towards the better, inshallah, for the future. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi.